Well, it's always great being with you. We love doing the show, and thanks so much for listening to us here. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. We got Seltzer. We got Ashlyn Sullivan. Of course, NBC Sports Philadelphia's own in today for both Devin and Rhea. And we got this guy. Little Jimi Hendrix action. Here's who we don't have, but he's got a lot of Benjamins. It happened after our show yesterday, but we would be foolish to not cover this. Tobias Harris. 52 million more has been guaranteed to his net wealth.
Have fun in Detroit, Toby.
You know what? He will, James.
He will. I agree. Because, what a gig, man.
I mean, it is...
Go lose a bunch of games, get 52 mil.
John, right. you ever think about you might have just picked the wrong sport when you were 12 years old? I mean, this guy, Tobias Harris, and listen, he's a good dude.
I tried to play basketball too, man.
Yeah,
that's true. I was bad.
That's true.
I lost many a game for my team from the foul line.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I fouled out inopportunely. I was awful.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, like, and also, I'm what, 6'2", 6'3"? I'm not
the right size. Sure, okay.
To play basketball.
Yeah, but you had that rugged thing. I mean, you know.
That doesn't work because then they foul you out in the second quarter.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this: as someone who wasn't the rugged guy, trust me, when the rugged guy's in there and I'm in there, I had some trouble.
You had a little rugged in you?
Yes, James. The thing about basketball that annoyed me is I had all this skill, and all of a sudden everyone's just taller.
just overflowing with skill.
And it's just, no, I was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone just got big, and I didn't. Like, this isn't fair.
Skill.
It stinks, man.
Yeah.
What did I do to the world to deserve this other guy to have, like, you know, 7 extra inches? Come on, man. All right, 215-592-96. Stop. I was talking about basketball
height. Incredible parallels other avenues.
Stop. If I said 2 extra inches, it might have been a thing. I said 7. I said 7.
Oh,
obviously,
man.
There's not a human alive that's got 7 more than me.
How
right?
do we keep this show going
I don't
right
know.
Now?
Everyone settle down. 215-592-9494. The point is, Tobias Harris is 52 mil extra coming to him. And, John, this will now place him for his career over $300 million for Tobias Harris. Isn't that incredible? Let's go to the phones. Your reaction with all right. The construction of the back end.
But he's nice.
He is nice.
He's a nice guy.
You know what's going to be fascinating when he comes back? Boo, cheer, or just sit there and do nothing? I'm serious.
I think it'll be all of those.
I do too.
I think all of those will happen.
That's going to be a fascinating Twitter poll question the day of that game. I mean, we'll do it.
I feel resentment a little bit. I hate to admit that, but I do.
Towards him?
I just don't blame him. Like, it's not his fault.
Yeah, but James, he should have tried harder.
He should have tried harder, yeah. I would probably sit silently. I don't think I'd boo him.
I would not boo.
I think I'm mad. I think it's like, you know what, that's BS.
I get team it. Boo.
I get it.
I might be.
Look, you know Rhea would boo. I mean, that's a given. I mean, she would, no question, she would boo.
It just feels like a ripoff. I know he was nice. I know he tried hard. I think he could have tried harder.
He could have tried harder.
I think he could have.
Yeah, I mean,
so boo Elton Brand when you see him. Boo Josh Harris for giving him the money. You know?
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. So the Phillies, the construction of the roster, fascinating time to watch some of the back end of the roster guys get at bats in like spots 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the order. So how you size that up for the postseason, who's in, who's out, and a lot obviously on the 76ers, whether you think they are truly legit contenders and you can trust Embiid to do it. Let's go to David right now. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, David? What's up, buddy?
Hey, so next 3 series for the Phillies got some pretty tall competition that they're playing against. Could you give me some insight? When can we expect the guys on the injured list to be coming back onto the roster?
Well, we don't really know, but I'll say this. Based on what Rob Thompson said, it sounds like it may, and I'll use the word may not be long after their stint on the injured list is over, which is, I think, a 10-dayer, right, James?
Yeah, yes. They said both theoretically both could 10. Be back before the All-Star break, which would be wild. Wow.
Yeah, so that could be like late next week, maybe, David, maybe sooner, but maybe not. I mean, we'll see.
It does seem unusual that they would that it would be expressed they could return prior to the All-Star break. Normally they're conservative. Mm-hmm. Normally they err to the side of conservatism.
Well, the Sixers do. I don't know if we have that history with the Phillies as much. Bryce Harper came
medical
back.
Medical professionals err to the side of conservatism.
I know, but Bryce has had multiple instances of coming back faster than you would expect.
He came back like a month and a half early from the TJ surgery.
I mean, you know, So, David, we'll say, I think those guys are gamers. I think they're incredibly focused this year. What would be really interesting to know is Bryce, does he feel like he wants to play in the All-Star game and therefore come back 2 or 3 days before it to kind of groove into that or not? I don't know the answer to that. But the good news is it's not going to linger, like, apparently too long.
We hope.
Yeah. Well, that is good news. Hopefully they can get through the Cubs, Braves, Dodgers, and then we'll see the boys back.
That's right. Give me someone two roles in TV. What do you got?
I got somebody with a triple crown. I'm going to say Ron Howard.
Yep.
Yep.
Give me two though. You only get to pick two. Which two?
Okay. Opie with a
and Richie,
and
right?
And Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah
those are the two biggies for him. And that's a big one right there. We got a lot in the Wayback Machine so far. A lot of stuff from 50, 60 years ago. Good stuff. All right. Speaking of 50, 60 years ago, I'm just guessing. Of course, Ashlyn covers the Flyers, you know, for NBC Sports Philadelphia and, you know, all over this. Let me get the name right. Matvei Michkov.
Good.
Did I say it right?
Yeah. You've been practicing.
I have been. Actually, I wrote it down today, so a phonetic spelling. Seltzer, true or false? When the Flyers met with Michkov to try to get him to come over from Russia, true or false, they showed him video of the Flyers pounding the Soviets in the mid-1970s at the Spectrum.
Why wouldn't they? Right?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a selling point? One of the great games in Philadelphia sports history. When, I mean, let's be real. The irony of the Flyers having the savior be a Russian. When, like, other than a Stanley Cup game, you can make a case the greatest game the Flyers ever played was against, like, you know, the Russians.
That was like my dad's favorite story to tell me growing up. He loved that they beat the Russians. He loved Bobby Clark, the whole thing that he did. Like, it was something.
And James, you know, there was a theory, and I don't know if it's true or not, I've heard it, that the Flyers weren't really in on the first wave of Russians once the Soviet Union collapsed, because, like, they still had this resentment from the 70s.
That's wild.
And the Cold War. And so the Flyers, like, when the Red Wings had, like, 17 Russians in the 97 Stanley Cup.
Flyers, Fedorov, you know, and all those
all
guys.
Those dudes,
oh,
right?
God.
All those guys. Anyway, the Flyers apparently have a new savior. And it's this Matvei Michkov. Let's listen to Danny Briere talking yesterday on the process of getting him to come over, signed a deal, and he's going to play with the big club, the Flyers, coming up this year.
Now that Michkov is signed, are you able to get into any more detail as to how you made this happen?
Just that we're excited that he's finally coming. You know, I think there was a lot of things that needed to happen in the background, but that was mostly for him and the team in Russia and his representative. So I don't have enough information to really help you with that. It was nice when we had the chance to start talking to his agent to finally get this deal done. You know, we never thought, you know, when we drafted him last summer that this would result in him coming over a year later. So that's really exciting.
Look, it is exciting. I have a theory. Now, I can't prove it because I don't really know it, but it's a theory. I think Keith Jones went eyeball to eyeball with Putin. He sat down at the table and said, listen, Vlad. Right, listen, buddy.
A lot of buddies.
Right, listen, Vlad. Settle down over there. We're taking our guy. By the way, let me just say this. He better be great. Because, and I hate to put this
set pressure. Set the expectations.
No, James, I hate to put this pressure on him, but seriously, people are talking about him in a way no
one's
talking
about. He's like a savior. No, Lindros. I know. He's like a savior.
I mean, you know, yesterday, Ashlyn, you're like, he's legit.
No, he's a star.
Why was he the seventh pick instead of the first pick?
Because people didn't think he'd come over.
Because he wasn't supposed to come over for 3 years. So people don't want to have the patience to wait. The Flyers took it. And I just got to say, for Danny Briere and Keith Jones, they did the same thing with the goaltender, Ivan Fedotov, where all of a sudden, the man just shows up. He's in the Flyers' locker.
The guy at the end of last year.
And yeah. No one knows how.
Yeah.
Like, they are wheeling and dealing.
Do you buy my Jonesy theory?
A little bit,
you know?
But I just can't take him as seriously.
So is Jonesy, like, working as a spy?
Well, the funny thing is, if you listen to Briere there, he's got a chuckle, which tells me something happened. I don't know what the something
Danny
is.
Danny has the worst poker face I've ever seen because his smirks and his giggles.
Well, look, it would be really fun to have the Flyers back. I mean, the reality is, as John alluded to earlier in the show, you know, the other three teams all do have a chance to win the title. Phillies, obviously. Eagles, it feels like, are almost always kind of in the mix.
They had the fifth best odds. The Eagles are tied for the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl.
And the Sixers have the third best odds.
The Sixers have the third best odds to win the world title. And our Phillies are number one.
Yeah.
They got the best record in baseball.
So Flyers.
And they have the best odds.
But
Let's go.
When's the last time that all teams have at least pointed arrows up?
That's, you know what? That's if the Eagles' arrow is pointed up.
I feel like it is.
No, John, with the Jalen Hurts thing, man.
I am positive it's pointed in the right direction.
Hey, let me tell you something.
This offense is going to destroy folks,
Can I tell you something?
We will slice through everyone.
To actually go up, you have to be 12-5 or better.
No.
Well, you better win a playoff game,
then. You have to win the playoffs,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's
But I'm just saying, those are both not easy. 12-5 is not easy, and winning a playoff game is not easy. I mean, it can happen, but
it's not easy.
It's
not easy.
All right, because I think there's this sense that, like, the Eagles, because of the crash and burn, stunk. They were 11-6. That's not a bad record. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of years. We'll take 11-6. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, more of what was said nationally. Excuse me, my voice just... Oh, that was a bad one.
I'll get it.
That was a bad one.
That was like a honk.
That was
you
a bad one. Nationally about the 76ers acquisition of Paul George. Plus, Ron Jaworski weighed in with us last week on the Eagles' defense. What he said. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks
goose.
At 7:55, and Seltzer never, ever... ever cut that audio and never play it back. Good morning to everyone. Jenna Cameron, John Rich, your phone calls next as well on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about the truly incredible people and experts at the Vincera Institute with Dr. William Myers and Dr. Alex Poor. You know, they are the world's leading experts on healing core muscle injuries. A few years ago, you may remember I injured my groin. First, the left groin. That was in a softball game. Then the right groin. That was in a baseball game. At first, I actually thought it was fine, like no big deal. But I knew I had a real issue when I could not run without a hitch in my step. That was the moment for me. When I was trying to accelerate and just couldn't do it without a hitch, it was like, uh-oh, I got a problem. Look, every stride led to discomfort, and perhaps this resonates with you and something you're currently feeling. I strongly encourage you, if you are, to get yourself to the Vincera Institute. Whether it is the groin, the abdomen, the pelvic or the hip area, all of which is kind of interconnected, all right around the same spot, they can fix it. Get yourself to the Vincera Institute. Core muscle injuries are real, and Dr. Myers is the world's leading expert on healing them. Get yourself to VinceraInstitute.com. That's VinceraInstitute.com. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. And Paul George is a Sixer. We now try to assess on day two of reaction whether the Sixers are now legit title contenders, which I did not think they would become this offseason because I didn't think they were going to get someone significant enough. And while I was apprehensive going into this process, and even when they got him, the more I reflect on it, the more excited I am. I mean, I am struck by how much the 76ers catapulted yesterday in the odds, in a lot of spots. I mean, John, third to win the title? Third.
Yeah.
To win the title, third.
I love that. I don't like the fact that, you know, I've seen people say, hey, caution, the NBA is no longer a Big Three league. It is now a Big Four league, a Big Five league. Look at what the Knicks have done.
Yeah, the parts
the
argument.
The Celtics, they were once Big Two.
Yeah.
They've now moved to a Big Five themselves. And that's what paid off. That's what allowed them to win this world championship. We are a little behind. That's not necessarily the case. Joel Embiid himself can account for a couple men. He is the MVP.
But
he stays upright.
Yeah, he's got to do it, though.
We are right up there. We are amongst the elite if Joel is healthy.
I will say this, though. It is hard to trust him. I mean, I
he's never done what we're asking him to do.
And he's had a lot of cracks at it. You know, so that's the problem. I mean, it's great to have all these parts now that a lot of us feel the Sixers can run forward with.
Is
but
he more apt to make it through a season now that he's got the experience?
I don't buy it. John,
is he less apt to make it through a season now that he's older?
I don't.
In his 30s.
I don't read anything into any of that. I don't read anything into, you know, Paul George will help take the load off of him in the regular season. I don't put any stock in any of that. Somehow, some way, this guy's got to dig down when the time is the time. When the lights really go on. You know, he's got to dig, because the lights really don't go on in the regular season. I mean, for all of Jordan's greatness, let's be real. I mean, Jordan is Jordan because of what he did in the postseason. That's just that. That's the game. That's the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, same thing with Joe Montana. You know, I mean, think about the difference in the way we view Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. One guy won two, one guy won seven. I mean, and Peyton Manning was great. I'm not taking anything away from Peyton Manning. He's an all-timer. But Tom Brady's a different kind of
Peyton
all-timer.
Peyton Manning was like, it was neural overload in the big games where he would malfunction.
I mean, didn't he lose like 40-0 or something to the Jets one year or something
it
ridiculous?
It was inexplicable.
It was ridiculous.
It really was. Like, he put too much into it and just malfunctioned.
Yeah. All right,
like,
well, look, we'll take your calls on the 76ers and whether you think they are now, you know, really legitimate title contenders, because the odds makers say they are. And obviously what goes with it is really a question about Joel. Do you trust him to stay healthy and get it done? I'm also curious from here's another thing I'd like to draw out today. So, you know, we had a poll question yesterday. Do you like the 76ers signing of Paul George to a 4-year, $212 million contract? 31% of people said no. I'd like to ask those 31%, and Ashlyn, you brought this up earlier. So if you wouldn't put pen to paper, if you're the Sixers on that deal, what would you have done? Like, what? I still don't know what in the world they would have done. Like, this to me almost feels like, you know, we talked a few days ago about how in college, and I still don't know how these classes exist. There's a thing called pass fail. You either pass the class or you fail. I guess the cutoff is like a C, maybe. I don't know, C minus. I don't know what it is. Like, sign me up for that class, because chances are I'll pass. Because, I mean, it's a low bar. I don't have to get an A. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to get a B. All I got to do is pass.
Sounds like the greatest thing ever.
I mean, maybe it's a D or above. I don't know. I don't know what a pass fit.
I think just above, like, 70.
Was it
a
above
pass,
F?
Right?
If you're above F, you pass. And if you're F, you fail. I mean, I that's a fail anyway. My point is this. That's what this whole thing with the Sixers offseason, not necessarily where it'll go when the whole thing is done and the next champion is crowned. But to me, it's like, if you get Paul George, to me, you pass the offseason because you got something that totally keeps you in the fight and elevates your chances. And if you didn't, you have nothing. What do you got?
It doesn't just elevate your chances. It sort of punches your ticket into that elite circle of teams that even have a chance, like a legitimate chance.
That's my point.
To be in that discussion.
And I think it renews hope amongst many fans, but clearly not all. I mean, John Johnson's poll this morning about, do you have renewed hope? And 41% of people said no. All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction. I know, John. Well, you got to remember, there's a lot of people not in on Embiid. There's a lot of people that think Paul George isn't good enough. Matter of fact, John, let me ask you today's Twitter poll question of the day. Give me which is your answer. Because our poll question is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering quality certified pre-owned vehicles at great prices every day. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. So on the negative side of Paul George, John, we've got four choices. Tell me what your answer would be for what is your biggest concern about Paul George with the Sixers? Is it A, he's declining, will decline? Is it B, injuries? C, he's not actually, you know, that great? Or D, his will to win? That he is kind of great, doesn't have the eye of the tiger. Which would be your answer?
It's D. I'm looking for the Jimmy Butler intangible will to win drive that inspires everyone else around him type guy. That tough-minded PJ Tucker fight you until the bitter end, no matter what, until we win kind of guy.
That's a big factor. Let's go to the phones. All this on the table. So too is the Phils. They get back at it later tonight. A couple interesting series up ahead as the Phils take on some better teams. Tonight, the Chicago Cubs. Let's go to Black Gritty right now. Good morning, Black Gritty.
Austin's boy, Slim Richie, PD, baby mama. Good morning, guys. So, Richie, let me just tell you something. This hope.
Wait, did you just call Ashlyn your baby mama?
I'm baby mama. You know.
I know. Okay. I'm playing around. That's like a welcome to the show for Ashlyn. Ashlyn's like, wait a minute. What did I do?
See, you out here begging for a 7-inch growth spurt, but you got little feet. You'd have flipped over your face anyway.
Settle down, Black Gritty.
Richie, cut out all this hope and dreams, okay? James Harden is Paul George. They're the same exact player.
No.
Perennial losers. Listen to me now. Perennial losers that when they come here, you have all these hope and dreams. Remember the catapult when Harden was here? Oh, the Sixers are perennial. They're going to go now. They're going to do it. Oh, wait. You got 1 year under his belt. He's coming back the next year. They'll be better. And you get the same result. A dude that doesn't show up in the playoffs, that happens to get injured. And guess what? James Harden came out and won us two games of 45 points. And then he puts up a 7-point game. Go look at Paul George, way off P. That's the exact same player. A guy who said, oh, win is not a big deal. I'm just going to get the $200 million. If I don't win, I don't win. That whole heart and all the stuff you want, this is not the dude that you got, Richie. Please stop it and stop having hope. Because guess what? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But all we can hope on and depend on is Joel Embiid. Because this guy is not the guy. I'm happy some people are happy, but it's fool's gold. You got the same guy. The Derek Coleman, the Elton Brand, the Chris Webber. This is the same lineage. James Harden is all the same lineage of fake, false hope. It's trash panda stuff. So go ahead and enjoy it, Richie, but just know that your heart will be broken.
All right, Black Gritty, let me ask you one question, because I hear what you're saying, and I agree with some of it. What about the theory that he'll now be asked to do less as the third guy, when I'd say out in L.A., it was kind of like a co-number one. Now he's going to, like, really be three? Because Porzingis couldn't hold it up as a one or a two. And then when he got to Boston, and it's either the three or the four, depending on how you want to rank him and Drew Holiday, I mean, all of a sudden, their pieces fit. Like, what about that concept?
That sounds good. You know, if I'd have got him from Indiana, I would have been cool. Maybe if I'd have got him from OKC, I'd have been really cool. Maybe if I got him before he went to the Clippers, I'd be like, okay. But now you want to come here and he's going to help Joel Embiid. Help Joel Embiid do what? He's going to help facilitate what? Push somebody where? So no, Joe DeCamera, -7'4", is not going to work. But you can go ahead and have all the hopes and dreams you want.
All right, great. All right, give me an answer. Yes, two TV roles.
Right. Jason Bateman. Silver Spoon, Ooh. Little House on the Prairie, Ozark, Arrested Development. This dude.
Okay,
from
give me two.
Work.
Give me two.
Silver Spoon and Little House on the Prairie. That takes over America.
Oh, I would have gone Arrested Development.
I think he messed up.
Well, if you're, oh my gosh, he named them all.
Well, I think Ozark should have been in there.
I think Arrested Development is easily the best.
Look,
thing
if you're going
to
the biggest shows, it's Arrested Development and Ozark. But I do love that he threw Silver Spoons in.
Yeah,
he's Ricky Schroeder's best friend.
That's a bad answer. I mean, considering
it's
what it could have been.
It's still a good answer. I think it could have been better.
That's my point. All right, let's listen to Ryan Russillo. Speaking of answers, John's buddy Ryan Russillo, big on the national level of weighing in on hoops. Really, really sharp on the NBA. And we've had him on the show a number of times. He weighed in yesterday on the 76ers acquisition of Paul George.
I like it. I like it for Paul George. I like it for Philly. I have honest expectations of who Paul George has been as a player. I think in this spot, it's actually kind of perfect for him because he's not a one. He doesn't have the personality of a one. But Embiid's going to have all the attention. The pressure's on him. Maxie can fill in for the nights where George just isn't feeling it offensively because those nights are going to happen. But having him as your third option, even at 34, and the track record, it's a huge win based on the other options. Like, if you want to start knocking Paul George, like, what do you think about the other potential options? Like, cool, we got Clay and DeRozan. Probably not what you were looking for. And now with Embiid, PG, and Maxey, they have a chance.
You know, there's two different things there. There's the they got a chance, you know, they're in the hunt, so to speak. But he brings up that other point we've talked about a number of times. It would be fascinating if we had Daryl Morey in front of him, in front of us. Truth serum. None of this hiding behind, not going to answer, going to obfuscate. Like, if you asked Daryl Morey, like, dude, what would you have done? Like, if the LA Clippers had given Paul George all the money for all the years, what in the world would Daryl Morey have done?
Yeah, I think he would have waited till the season.
I think it would have been hold the money, and just go, because at some point, Joel, and I tell you, I got to give credit to Joel and Tyrese Maxey, who I think there was a certain degree of trust in the organization, and in Daryl Morey, which is ironic because obviously James Harden eventually did not trust Daryl Morey. I mean, one thing about Joel you got to say, despite all his flaws, and there are some real flaws, he's never asked out, he's never approached asking out. You know, he hasn't done that through a lot of disappointments and tremendous, disastrous decisions by this organization.
And the organization going against his wishes at times
as
well.
That's right. And a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who could have gotten a big contract last year, You know, and as people have now gone back and looked at it, his decision to not take the money last year actually opened up, it's hard to describe, but a little bit of a window for the Sixers to be able to do more this offseason. Yeah. Like, that's
a
real...
A little more flexibility.
That's
that
trust.
That really is a big deal.
Yeah, from Embiid and Maxey.
For this window.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but if let's just say Paul George gets all the money from the Clippers in all the years, like, we'd be unhappy, because I agree with James. I don't think they would have signed the wrong guy for tons of years, but how would Maxey and Embiid have felt if they showed up at training camp? It's Maxey, it's Embiid, it's Kelly Oubre, and, you know, nine random guys. Come on, man. Like, so, hope, seriously.
The hope and a promise of potentially something happening before, you know.
Would have been a disaster. Would have been a total disaster. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, folks. Ashlyn, I figure you'll appreciate this. I have a good friend who kind of followed a same life trajectory as you, lifelong Floridian, Gator grad, moved up to the northeast part of the country in her 20s. I was telling her the story about the snow license, and she was cracking up. She felt bad for you, but she also thought it was hilarious.
Oh, well, I'm glad she can relate, but probably not. She probably didn't believe the snow license.
Yeah, she definitely, I think she definitely felt, she definitely, you know, said she might have believed it. Actually,
yeah, we found out Ashlyn's a little more gullible than I would have thought at first. I mean, she thought you had to get a license for snow, right?
I've never seen snow before. Imagine, put the perspective. I was freaking out. I was bugging
but
out.
What you should have said to Al Morgani when he said that to you is...
What you talking about, Willis?
But instead, no.
I was panic.
Yeah. All right, Drew, what do you got on the Phillies?
Yeah, so Phil, I wanted, and I might be overthinking it, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on something. So Zach Wheeler last pitched Thursday. So they theoretically could have brought him back tonight, but they're pitching Mercado tonight. They're pitching Wheeler tomorrow. So that means Wheeler is going to pitch against the Dodgers, but not the Braves this weekend. I'm just curious, if you guys had a preference, do you like that, or would you prefer that he would have been moved up on normal rest and thrown against the Braves this weekend?
I think, make a strong case, that a Phillies-Dodgers game is more important this July than a Phillies-Braves game, because the Phillies are closer to the Dodgers in the standings for home field advantage in the playoffs than they are to the Braves for winning the division. By the way, significantly so. So okay. I think pitching him against the Dodgers, I don't know if they did it for that purpose. I don't know if they're trying to align something for the All-Star game. Like, I haven't thought that far ahead, you know, or maybe it's just in a little bit extra rest, obviously, and try to space it out a little bit and keep his arm fresh. But I can tell you unequivocally, I think the Phillies-Dodgers series, that was another voice crack.
You're having a day, huh?
That was two now. I think the Phillies-Dodgers series is more important.
Okay, I just know, I feel like sometimes, it got me thinking, because sometimes I know Zach doesn't like the extra rest. He likes to stay on 4 days, and part of me would just love to, you know, take at least 2 out of 3 or even sweep and just really
finish off. Let me ask you a question. Just give me an honest answer. You get to win 2 out of 3 against one of them, you get to win 1 out of 3 against one of them. Which team would you rather win 2 out of 3 from? It's the Dodgers.
The answer is probably the Dodgers.
Of course, it's the Dodgers.
I have in my head that you're 2-4 against the Braves.
Knock that off. You got an 8-game lead. One team, you got an 8-game lead against the other team. I'd have to look it up. It's probably like a game or two. Of course, the Dodgers game is more important. Drew, give me an answer. Best combination of two TV roles.
You got it. I'm going with B.D. Wong. He was on Law & Order SVU, which has been running forever, and he was also on Mr. Robot, which
you got
is a
it,
real
man.
Good show.
Love B.D. Wong.
Appreciate that, man.
Don't you think so? So what are you expecting from Mercado, Jimmy? We got this Michael Mercado.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, we'll see. He was pitching well in the minors. Like, I'm not expecting a ton.
Can I tell you what I'm expecting? After Ranger and Christopher Sanchez, I'm expecting another stud.
Yep.
I'm expecting another guy we've never heard of.
He'll probably throw a no-hitter. If I had to bet.
Well, the last guy who threw a no-hitter never won another game for the Phillies.
Lorenzen?
Wasn't that his last win?
I have no idea.
I think he got...
No.
He was there for a while with us after. I mean, it was in July or August.
That no-hitter was the beginning of August.
Yeah, okay, it was the beginning of August. It was right after the trade deadline. It was his first home start.
Let me say this. He didn't do much after that.
No. He did. He did pitch well in the playoffs when they threw him in there in relief. Yeah, and they lost the games, but
I don't even remember that.
I know you don't.
All right, 215-592-9494. I do remember hearing Jaws last week with us. Let's play some of this audio. You know, the Eagles, in case you haven't, you know, checked your calendar, they go to training camp in like 3 weeks. Like, we are in the month of July. The Eagles go to training camp in the month of July. This thing's coming up. And the players probably aren't sweating it the way, you know, Richie and his guys and a generation before would sweat it, literally sweat it, because you'd be sweating out on the fields of Lehigh or Westchester, 2-a-days.
No, we would be sweating it right now, trying to get ready to go out there for 2-a-days. Like, you would prepare your body to do work twice a day by doing work twice a day.
Well, imagine the old Vermeil 3-a-days.
Dude, I think my high school 2-a-days were harder than what they do now. When I was in high school, we were nuts,
your
man.
Your high school was
they
harder.
Were crazy, yeah.
My high school, way back in like the late 80s, early 90s, we would do 8-to-8, where it was 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And it was a totally different mentality.
That's
like,
illegal.
My coach, dude, my coach wouldn't let
you
us have water.
So,
listen, my coach wouldn't let us have water. We went to the nurse, and it was like super hot, all this stuff. We went to the nurse, and the nurse went to him and was like, hey, you got to give these kids water. It's not okay. As soon as the nurse left, he's like, you guys are never getting water again.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it was like that kind of thing.
Right, so, yeah, you'll get water if you run the play right.
Exactly. Like, you get it when you earn it.
Let me be that guy. For all the attorneys out there who are smelling a class action lawsuit.
I doubt it. I graduated high school in 2000.
What are the statute of limitations?
Yeah, right. You know? I think less than 24 years or whatever.
All jokes aside, Eagles are going to training camp pretty soon. We talked to Ron Jaworski about a week ago, covered a lot of ground, one of which was on the defense and Vic Fangio. Here's Jaws on Vic Fangio in this Eagles day.
Let's get real here. Vic Fangio has to get this team playing up to their potential. They did not play up to their potential last year. Boom, plain and simple. I can't tell you where the blame is, but that team did not perform to its capability. Vic Fangio, who I've known for 40 years, is an awesome coach. He's a no-nonsense, no BS kind of guy. Do your job. He'll kick you in the butt. He'll pat you on the back. He'll hug you. He'll kiss you. But he's also going to be in your face when you screw up. It's kind of an old-school coach, and I think, quite honestly, that's the demeanor this defense needs, an old-style type coach that's not going to be your buddy unless you perform. So I think the defense is a big question mark. There certainly is talent, but I think if Vic Fangio can get this group playing well early, and I think it's going to be tough early. There's going to be a lot of, obviously, a new system, new coaching staff on that defensive side of the football. It's going to take a little time for that defense to evolve.
Look, I got to tell you this, man. It's fun talking Sixers today with renewed hope and the possibility of maybe winning a title. And, you know, people obviously are split on whether that's real or not. But, John, to get the juices flowing for football is good, too. And this – like, John, let me ask you this question. The Eagles' defense is what? Like, ooh, how would you assess what they are as a unit? Because they made a lot of changes, and they made a ton of changes to go back 2 years. I mean, from the team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago to what you got right now, it is an incredibly different defense. This D is what, John?
Athletic, I guess. A question mark.
Yeah.
The question mark, maybe.
Other than Hurts.
I don't find Jalen to be a question mark. I am
really Sirianni for you,
really
then?
Sirianni
excited.
Also. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The defense is going to be more exciting, more multiple, but not that much more multiple than what we saw last year.
Well, it's a basic structure. I mean, Vic Fangio's structure was being run by guys here the last couple of years. So it's not like they're going to reinvent the wheel. He invented the wheel. I mean, here's the bottom line. They obviously have nowhere to go but up. They can't be worse than they were. They will go up. The question is, are they actually going to be good? It's almost like Paul George. A little bit. It's like Paul George is better than Tobias Harris, obviously. Okay, obviously. The question is, how good is he? How good is the defense?
But the difference there is Paul George has to be great. The Eagles' defense doesn't.
That's true.
Yeah, if Hurts is great, if the offense is great, they just have to be okay.
There have been plenty of teams in NFL history that have won a Super Bowl with one unit, one side of the ball being exceptional, and the other side being average.
And
Kansas City 2 years
side,
ago is a prime example.
And I'm expecting the offensive side to be exceptional. I am not nearly as worried about the center position as a lot of people seem to be. I'm not nearly as worried about Jalen
as
you are.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing, Paris Campbell, our third wide receiver, is the question mark, and that's not a question
well,
mark.
But
we're going to hand the ball off more than we've seen in the past,
yeah.
And that's where everything else grows from. That's where we start and finish.
I'll believe it when I say it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll believe it when I say it.
Yeah.
I think you're holding out too much hope on that. I really do.
Saquon Barkley is here.
They're not going to run him in. They're not going to run him into the ground.
I understand they're not going to run him into ground. But for this kind of back, a bell cow back, the way that you must use him to maximize the player.
It's his seventh year, man.
He gets 20 touches. You get 15 carries and 5 catches. This is what he needs for this offense to be running on all 8 cylinders, and I'm telling you that'll open everything up for everyone else.
I will say
there's going to be a lot of plays to go around because the offense will be so efficient.
Well, look, I hope you're right. I don't know if it's that simple. We shall see. By the way, one more thing on the Eagles and the defense, because you know a big part of you want to talk about a question mark, and it's ironic because he's getting paid a lot of money. Is Bryce Hoff. Let's be real. Most of us have never really focused on Bryce Hoff in a game. I mean, when the Eagles played the Jets entering that game, I can tell you, I probably had never heard of Bryce Hoff. And then after that game, I guess I had because he did make some plays in the game. But it's not like I walked away from that game saying, oh, yeah, that's the guy the Eagles should go replace Hassan Reddick with and give him $50 million. Like, that wasn't my mindset. But then when free agency happened, like all of a sudden in comes Bryce Hoff. We asked Jaws the other day about him. His answer was not what I wanted to hear. Is Bryce Hoff legit? 3 years, 50-something million. Is he legit, Jaws?
I can't answer that definitively, but what I saw on tape, quote, honestly, I would say probably not. You look at his sacks. There are a number. He wasn't, like, beating people. There were numbers. If you look, you just pull up a sack reel, and you look at it and say, wow, there are a number of times he wasn't even blocked. You know, it was errors on the offensive line, errors in the backfield, errors in the tight end that they didn't block him. He had clean shots to quarterback. He is obviously a very gifted athlete. He's kind of a late bloomer. For 2 years, he had a hard time getting on the field. He had an explosive season last year. But, you know, I just hope we're not getting a one-year wonder. I'm going to trust Howie on this one that he sees something very special in the young man. But I think it's a lot of money off the salary cap to pay a guy that really is a one-year wonder. But, hey, hopefully he'll prove me wrong.
Look, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We're all going to be eyes wide open and watch this guy an awful lot. Obviously,
let's hope Jaws is wrong because yeah. that's not what you want to hear.
I know. It's not what you want to hear.
One-year wonder, like, not good.
That sounds terrible. You know what? Part of what made Hassan Reddick so unique is even though he was a tweener size-wise, he was able to stand up and hold up against the run way better than a 230-pound guy should have. Like, you know, he's 6'1", he's 230 pounds, but he's able to anchor in there and you know, stick his foot in the ground and get his shoulder in there and get underneath
He could set an edge.
He could set that edge.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
That is unique. I don't know that we can see the same thing from Bryce Hoff. Mm-hmm. I don't know Bryce Hoff can do that. Bryce Hoff hasn't even been asked to do that. Bryce Hoff was, okay, it's third and long. Now you go in and you get to rush the quarterback. Yeah.
To be fair to Howie, the league didn't realize how good Hassan Reddick was when Howie acquired Hassan Reddick. Howie was ahead of the curve on that one. So we'll see.
They still don't.
We'll see. Hey, one more question, then right back to the phones. By the way, we'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks in about 10 minutes on the Eagles and the Sixers. So one more question. Let's all go on the record here on this one. Our second Twitter poll question today relates to both the Eagles and Sixers and is follows. Which team has a better chance to win a championship in their next season? Is it the Eagles or Sixers? Count me in on the Sixers.
I agree with you.
Mm. Ashlyn, Eagles or Sixers, better chance to win the title this upcoming year?
Eagles.
John?
I'm just going to be practical here and say we've got the third best odds for the Sixers and the fifth best odds for the Eagles.
What a wimp.
Wow, that is weak.
Thought John would be a wimp.
Weak. I do think it's close.
John Ritchie, wimp!
The Sixers did enough actually have a chance to win a world championship. I got to tip my cap
you
and give him those
so
kudos.
You're just so pro-Eagles offense. How can you swing it like that?
He heard Jones talk about Bryce Huff. He's out. He's out.
They both have a chance. That's what's amazing.
Well, three of them, though. That's really what's incredible.
All three, yes, yeah. You're right. Three teams in Philadelphia have a chance to win a world title.
That's
this
pretty cool.
Season.
All right, so we'll talk to Elliot in about 10 minutes and all this stuff. Let's go to JB right now in Chestnut Hill. What's going on, JB?
Good morning, team.
What's up, JB?
Good morning, Ashlyn. Welcome to the party.
Thank you.
Nice addition. John, I'm sure you appreciate this, but happy Independence Day.
Yes.
Today's the actual day of the signing of the Independence, not
JB,
July 4th.
This was the day John Adams thought would be the day. This day,
correct.
July 2nd. That's right.
This is when the Second Continental Congress, I guess that they were called, that's when they actually voted to make it independent.
And what was it?
Has anyone ever been more historically wrong than John Adams?
No. You can just make Seltzer, you can just make the case around. Everyone else was idiots.
Yeah, well, he's wrong. You thought this would be the day. It's not. It's
JB,
not
what
the
was
day.
The deal? The fourth?
What's Independence Day? July 4th.
JB, was the 4th when it was announced to the public?
No. So what happened was it was signed on the 2nd. They came up with it later as the 4th. It took like 17 to 20 days to write, and was not even finished till August 2nd.
Hmm. Okay.
So, random facts.
What do you got on the sports scene?
As far as like the Sixers, I'm cautiously optimistic because the NBA has become so microwave over my lifetime that it's not like, you know, the 80s and 90s where it's like, oh, the Knicks are here, the Pacers are here, and this team's coming, and you're not watching teams grow. So the Paul George signing is huge because it immediately makes them, you know, exactly what we think they are. They're now contenders, and if they stay healthy and they do the right things, it's going to be – it's almost, you know, like Boston's championship this year. It's going to be forgotten about in about 2 months. Like, it's – I think the NBA has.
Well, I'll say this, JB. I think Boston has a better shot to repeat than most teams in recent years. You got to remember, their two stars are both really just entering their prime. And I'd say Porzingis and Drew Holiday should still hold up good enough. They got that Devin White guy who is not Devin White. What's his
Derek.
Name? Derek White, who might be
major hairstyle change.
Well,
for the better.
He might be the best fifth player on a championship team in a long time. I mean, how many championship teams? He's probably the best
since Iguodala.
Since Iguodala, you know, or Bobby Jones was the Sixers' fifth best player when they won the title in '83. Like, as fifth best players go, he's pretty damn good. You know, so the opportunity
just got a 4-year, $129 million extension.
You know, so they're pretty well situated. By the way, Hartenstein leaving the Knicks is a big deal, man. That is not a small thing that happened.
And
yesterday.
Not just that, going to like a perfect fit for OKC. OKC getting him and Caruso, they're going
to
be dangerous.
But I'll deal with that in the finals if I have to.
Of course,
if I'm the Sixers.
Of course,
I'm saying it helps the Sixers. That guy's not with the Knicks. Big time.
I agree. Yeah. And when it comes to the Phillies, too, if we were 100%, I know this seems like I'm like hedging my bet, but like, yeah, the Dodgers series would be more important. But right now, it's about getting the team regrouped, getting healthy. This series doesn't mean anything to me in my eyes as far as long-term for the Philly season. Like, yeah, would it be great for them to win the series? But
wait, which one are you talking about, Braves?
No, I'm talking about Dodgers or Braves.
Well, JB, we're talking about home field advantage. I mean,
and I'm talking about getting the team healthy because this team is
proven home field
advantage.
I agree. Yeah,
this team has proven home field advantage didn't really matter. They came in as a 2 seed, we want to be the underdog, not the underdog. We want to be the hot team that goes in, and this team.
JB, I am not saying play players before they're ready to come back at all. I was simply responding to Drew's query. To which game matters more? Which game would you rather pitch Zach Wheeler in? And I'm just telling you, fundamentally, I think the Dodgers game is more important than the Braves game. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally it is. But I don't think either really matter in the long term. I think this team getting to mid-August healthy again so they don't turn into the Mets of the last 20 years and fall apart and then just be like, oh, yeah, that was a fun half.
All right, JB, give me two roles in television. This is for tickets. To see Def Leppard, Journey, and the Steve Miller Band, same person, two different roles in TV. What do you got?
I got Elaine and Veep, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, that is a big one. That's a very,
Have you ever seen Veep, Joe?
No.
Why? Like, it is so up your alley. It's hilarious. It's about politics. Like, it's a great show. Veep is hilarious.
Look, I'll put
like
it
why?
On.
Why? You watch all these old shows. Like, why not watch Veep, okay. Who's clearly someone you like in Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Fine. It's got a lot of... crack again?
I did just... That's the third time today.
Wow.
What is going on here with The Voice?
It's a mess today.
Hugh Bessence.
What is this? Ashton, do you have
do you have your morning tea with your honey?
Yeah, let me do a little water. Let me. There you go. Let me clear my throat here. Here we go. Hold on.
Do a little water.
All right. All right.
Ashlyn's attempt at the
how was it?
The water.
Water.
Yeah, water. That almost sounded New York.
It was bad.
It's like water.
I got to stop with the impressions because I just can't do them.
No, but we appreciate the
you
attempt.
You think one day it's just going to come to me living here long enough?
Nope.
I'm never going to have it.
I would say the opposite of this.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Whatever the opposite of yes is the answer I'll
so
give you.
So even if I live here 10 years, I'm never going
to
get it?
I didn't have a good no one here, so I just figured I'd go with the opposite of yes. I figured that was a better way to do it. Hey, let's listen to Spike.
No!
Yeah, there you go. There's a no. Spike weighed in on the 76ers acquisition of Paul George. Let's listen to what he said. And by the way, he's very, very pro this move. Here's Spike yesterday on the Afternoon Show.
Signing Paul George is a great outcome. Considering the circumstances that we were in a few years ago, this is a great outcome. Paul George is an excellent player who fits perfectly with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. I've heard a lot of, well, Big Three doesn't work anymore, Big Three doesn't work anymore. Most of the Big Threes that don't work don't fit like this Big Three fits. A lot of the Big Threes, you see, all three guys do the exact same thing, but that's not what we have here. What we have is a max-level free agent who decided to switch teams in free agency, who decided to leave his home city of Los Angeles to come to Philadelphia, where the pressure will be high. This is a win for Daryl Morey. It's a win for Joel Embiid. But most of all, it is a win for us. This is the best possible outcome.
Look, I like it. I mean, John, you know how much you and I through the years have valued Spike's opinion on the Sixers.
He's on top of
it. And he said from the beginning of this offseason, Paul George was the guy to get. I mean, one thing that really helped, obviously, you didn't have to trade for him. You know, you didn't have to give up two or three or four draft picks in order to get him. I mean, you know, him or Bridges, comparable different types of players, sort of, and certainly one guy going up, one guy going down. But one guy required five first-round draft picks. The other guy didn't. I mean, that's...
Can you believe that?
Think about that. And that's where the NBA is so weird. It's just so weird. And also, and this was, I think, part of Spike's point the whole time, to actually get a guy who's really good, who leaves as a free agent and chooses you, is really rare. Because usually a guy like that will get a full max from someone, even if it's a sign and trade. I mean, I think even when LeBron, even when LeBron first left Cleveland, it eventually became a trade. Even though he announced it in the decision, after that, I believe, Seltzer, didn't the Heat and the Cavs work out a trade?
It sounds familiar to me. Like, I'm not 100%,
but it sounds that way.
The Cavs point
is, let me try to get something back
for
him.
Of course, why wouldn't you if he's leaving anyway?
If he's leaving anyway, and he's like, let me get something for him. And he gets like a little bit extra money or something. All right, one more thing from Spike, then we'll get to Elliot. Spike continued on the point he was making.
Daryl Morey leveraged everything on this offseason for cap space, and it worked. They got to keep every draft pick they had. They still have four first-round picks to trade or do whatever they want with. It's not perfect. He's not 28. He didn't lead a team to a championship with two finals MVPs, but I don't look out there and see any of those guys available. Prime Kevin Durant is not available. Prime Michael Jordan is not available. Paul George was available. He is now a Sixer. We have a contender, and we have a Sixer season. And I love it, and I'm excited for
it. Look, it's good. I mean, the more
it makes me feel really good.
Me too, John. The more I digest this, the more I feel better about it.
Yeah.
Because I was also kind of lukewarm initially. But, I mean, I said the odds, the Sixers go up to third for the odds in the NBA. I got Spike saying that. You know, I got tons of national people, and we'll continue to play the audio through the show, of what other, you know, people like Stephen A. Smith and Win Horse and others said that are pro this move. I mean, frankly, on the national level, I'm not saying there's not any that have been dissenters, but I haven't heard anybody notable as a dissenter saying, like, what are the Sixers doing? What the heck was that? I haven't heard one. So I'm struck by that. One more thing I want to say, and then we'll get to Elliot Shure Parks. You know, there's a part of this, and James, I'm going to guess this resonates with you. There's a part of this that, for me, hits me in a really important way as a fan. I appreciate, for lack of a better way to put it, how this came together. Here's what I mean. I don't feel like, Like, think of it this way: when the British were trying to fight us in the Revolutionary War, you know, they use like the German Hessians, like they hire people to like fight their war.
Mercenaries
yeah. is what they were called. Thank you for the term. Like, I don't feel that here, and here's what I mean by that: I got two homegrown stars. I got Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, who have been rooted here from the beginning. They've never messed around with external looks. They've never had anything like, I think I might be out. Never heard it. So I got my two main guys have been rooted here. Here's the key I'm getting at with Paul George that I really appreciate. I really appreciate. While he is an external, he didn't ask out of an existing contract while under contract.
So you feel as though
he wasn't
this is
James Harden.
Well, not with LA.
Team.
He kind of did with OKC.
No, but not on this one. So
okay.
No, I got you. But here's my point. He didn't pull that lever to get here. He finished his contract. He came here. He chose to come here. Like,
yeah.
And he did choose. He could have. Yes. It's an easy
my
life
point,
in Orlando.
James,
there's no pressure. Like, it's no state tax. You live in Florida. Like, it could have done
that.
Here's my thing. When you acquire James Harden, you feel icky. When you acquire Kyrie Irving, you feel icky. I don't feel icky with the acquisition of Paul George.
I agree with that, yeah.
That's a good point.
And that will help me, and I think millions of us, enjoy next season more.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we didn't get a guy who's like a total pain in the ass, which so many of these guys in the NBA are.
Sure. Icky on many levels. It's his character, but it's also I don't have to regret those 5 draft picks, round draft picks that we might have had to give away for Kevin Durant or whomever.
But I need him to have dog in him. And I'm not saying the bad dog.
And
I'm saying the good.
Know.
He's got to want it.
Yeah.
He's got to. Well, that's true. Exactly. That's not the right
we
kind of
need
dog.
Him barking like that.
Yeah, as far as like the Sixers, I'm cautiously optimistic because the NBA has become so microwave over my lifetime that it's not like, you know, the 80s and 90s where it's like, oh, the Knicks are here, the Pacers are here, and this team's coming, and you're not watching teams grow. So the Paul George signing is huge because it immediately makes them, you know, exactly what we think they are. They're now contenders, and if they stay healthy and they do the right things, yeah, I mean, it's going to be – it's almost, you know, like Boston's championship this year. It's going to be forgotten about in about 2 months. Like, it's – I think the NBA has
well,
become
Well, I'll say this,
badly.
JB. I think Boston has a better shot to repeat than most teams in recent years. You got to remember, their two stars are both really just entering their prime. And
right.
And I'd say Porzingis and Jrue Holiday should still hold up good enough. They got that Devin White guy who or is not Devin White. What's his
Derek.
Name? Derek White, who might be
major hairstyle change.
Well,
for the better.
He might be the best fifth player on a championship team in a long time. I mean, how many championship teams? He's probably the best
since Iguodala.
Since Iguodala, you know, or Bobby Jones was the Sixers' fifth best player when they won the title in '83. Like, as fifth best players go, he's pretty damn good. You know, so the opportunity
just got a 4-year, $129 million extension.
You know, so they're pretty well situated. By the way, Hartenstein. Leaving the Knicks is a big deal, man. That is not a small thing that happened.
And
yesterday.
Not just that, going to like a perfect fit for OKC. OKC getting him and Caruso, they're going
to
be dangerous.
But I'll deal with that in the finals if I have to.
Of course,
if I'm the Sixers.
Of course,
saying it helps the Sixers. That guy's not with the Knicks. Big time.
I agree. Yeah. And on when it comes to the Phillies too, if we were 100%, I know this seems like I'm like hedging my bet, but like yeah, the Dodgers series would be more important. But right now, it's about getting the team regrouped. Getting healthy, this series doesn't mean anything to me in my eyes as far as long-term for the Philly season. Like, yeah, would it be great for them to win the series? But
wait, which one are you talking about, Braves?
No, I'm talking about Dodgers or Braves.
Well, JB, we're talking about home field advantage. I mean,
and I'm talking about getting the team healthy because this team is
proven home field
advantage.
I agree. Yeah,
this team has proven home field advantage didn't really matter. They came in as a 2 seed, we want to be the underdog, not the underdog. We want to be the hot team that goes in, and this team.
JB, I am not saying play players before they're ready to come back at all. I was simply responding to Drew's query. To which which game matters more? Which game would you rather pitch Zach Wheeler in? And I'm just telling you, fundamentally, I think the Dodgers game is more important than the Braves game. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally it is. But I don't think either really matter in the long term. I think this team getting to mid-August healthy again, so they don't turn into the Mets of the last 20 years and fall apart, and then just be like, oh yeah, that was a fun half.
All right, JB, give me two roles in television. This is for tickets to see Def Leppard, Journey, and the Steve Miller Band. Same person, two different roles in TV. What do you got?
I got Elaine and Veep, Juliet Louis.
Big one. Yeah, major that is a big answer. One. That's a very,
Have
very...
you ever seen Veep, Joe?
No.
Why? Like, it is so up your alley. It's hilarious. It's about politics. Like, it's a great show. Veep is hilarious.
Look, I'll put
like,
it
why?
On...
You watch all these old shows. Like, why not watch Veep, okay. Who's clearly someone you like in Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Got a lot of crack again?
I did just. That's the third time today.
Wow.
What is going on here with The Voice?
It's a mess today.
Pubescence.
What is this? Ashton, do you have
Do you have your morning tea with your honey?
Yeah, let me do a little water. Let me clear my throat here. Here we go. Hold on.
Do a little water.
All right. All right.
Ashlyn's attempt at the
How was it?
The water.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
That almost sounded New York.
It was bad.
It's like water.
I got to stop with the impressions because I just can't do them.
No, but we appreciate the attempt.
You think one day it's just going to come to me living here long enough?
Nope.
I'm never going to have it.
I would say the opposite of this. Whatever the opposite of yes is the answer I'll give you.
So even if I live here 10 years, I'm never going
to
get it?
I didn't have a good no one here, so I just figured I'd go with the opposite of yes. I figured that was a better way to do it. Hey, let's listen to Spike.
No!
Yeah, there you go. There's a no. Spike weighed in on the 76ers acquisition of Paul George. Let's listen to what he said. And by the way, he's very, very pro this move. Here's Spike yesterday on the afternoon show.
Signing Paul George is a great outcome. Considering the circumstances that we were in a few years ago, this is a great outcome. Paul George is an excellent player who fits perfectly with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. I've heard a lot of, well, Big Three doesn't work anymore. Most of the Big Threes that don't work don't fit like this Big Three fits. A lot of the Big Threes, you see, all three guys do the exact same thing, but that's not what we have here. What we have is a max-level free agent who decided to switch teams in free agency, who decided to leave his home city of Los Angeles to come to Philadelphia, where the pressure will be high. This is a win for Daryl Morey. It's a win for Joel Embiid. But most of all, it is a win for us. This is the best possible outcome.
Look, I like it. I mean, John, you know how much you and I through the years have valued Spike's opinion on the Sixers.
He's on top of
it. And he said from the beginning of this offseason, Paul George was the guy to get. I mean, one thing that really helped, obviously, you didn't have to trade for him. You know, you didn't have to give up two or three or four draft picks in order to get him. I mean, you know, him or Bridges, comparable, different types of players, sort of, and certainly one guy going up, one guy going down, but one guy required five first-round draft picks, the other guy didn't. I mean, that's...
Can you believe that?
Think about that. And that's where the NBA is so weird. It's just so weird. And also, and this was, I think, part of Spike's point the whole time, to actually get a guy who's really good, who leaves as a free agent and chooses you, is really rare. He's usually a guy like that will get a full max from someone, even if it's a sign and trade. I mean, I think even when LeBron, even when LeBron first left Cleveland, it eventually became a trade. Even though he announced it in the decision, after that, I believe, Seltzer, didn't the Heat and the Cavs work out a trade?
It sounds familiar to me. Like,
let me try to get something back
for
him.
Of course, why wouldn't you if he's leaving anyway?
If he's leaving anyway, and he's let me get something for him. And he gets like a little bit extra money or something. All right, one more thing from Spike, then we'll get to Elliot. Spike continued on the point he was making.
Daryl Morey leveraged everything on this offseason for cap space, and it worked. They got to keep every draft pick they had. They still have four first-round picks to trade or do whatever they want with. It's not perfect. He's not 28. He didn't lead a team to a championship with two finals MVPs, but I don't look out there and see any of those guys available. Prime Kevin Durant is not available. Prime Michael Jordan is not available. Paul George was available. He is now a Sixer. We have a contender, and we have a Sixer season. And I love it, and I'm excited for
it. Look, it's good. I mean, the more
it makes me feel really good.
Me too, John. The more I digest this, the more I feel better about it.
Yeah.
Because I was also kind of lukewarm initially. But, I mean, I said the odds, the Sixers go up to third for the odds in the NBA. I got Spike saying that. You know, I got tons of national people, and we'll continue to play the audio through the show, of what other, you know, people like Stephen A. Smith and Windhorse and others said that are pro this move. I mean, frankly, on the national level, I'm not saying there's not any that have been dissenters, but I haven't heard anybody notable as a dissenter saying, like, what are the Sixers doing? What the heck was that? I haven't heard one. So I'm struck by that. One more thing I want to say, and then we'll get to Elliot Shure Parks. You know, there's a part of this, and James, I'm going to guess this resonates with you. There's a part of this that, for me, hits me in a really important way as a fan. I appreciate, for lack of a better way to put it, how this came together. Here's what I mean. I don't feel like think of it this way. When the British were trying to fight us in the Revolutionary War, you know, they use like the German Hessians, like they hire people to like fight their war.
Mercenaries
yeah. is what they were called. Thank you for the term. Like, I don't feel that here. And here's what I mean by that. I got two homegrown stars. I got Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, who have been rooted here from the beginning. They've never messed around with external looks. They've never had anything like, I think I might be out. Never heard it. So I got my two main guys have been rooted here. Here's the key I'm getting at with Paul George that I really appreciate. I really appreciate. While he is an external, he didn't ask out of an existing contract while under contract.
So you feel as though
he wasn't
this is
James Harden.
Well, not with LA.
Team.
He kind of did with OKC.
No, but not on this one. So
okay.
James, I got you. Here's my point. He didn't pull that lever to get here. He finished his contract. He came here. He chose to come here. Like,
yeah.
And he did choose. He could have. Yes. It's an easy
my
life
point,
in Orlando.
James,
there's no pressure. Like, it's no state tax. You live in Florida. Like, it could have done that.
Here's my thing. When you acquire James Harden, you feel icky. When you acquire Kyrie Irving, you feel icky. I don't feel icky with the acquisition of Paul George.
I agree with that, yeah.
That's a good point.
And that will help me, and I think millions of us, enjoy next season more. Because we didn't get a guy who's like a total pain in the ass, which so many of these guys in the NBA are.
Sure. Icky on many levels. It's his character, but it's also I don't have to regret those 5 draft picks,
five first round draft picks
that we might have had to give away for Kevin Durant or whomever.
But I need him to have dog in him. And I'm not saying the bad dog.
I'm
saying the good. He's got to want it.
Yeah.
He's got to. Well, that's true.
Exactly.
That's not the right kind of dog.
We need him barking like that.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.